Short Stories of Dan the Art Man, Episode 16, The Night the Lights Came On. My scariest Halloween ever started as one night in a huge collection of lousy nights. But then, things got crazy. Usually, when my parents fight, I simply turn my headphones up. But that night, I just had to get out of there. So I snuck out the back door into the woods behind our house. Normally, I don't go back there, especially at night. But I found myself walking, totally distracted by my intense urge to get away. I didn't pay attention to where I was going, and I didn't really care how far away my feet had taken me, as long as it was away. Thornsgrave is a small town, so there aren't many places to go without being seen besides the woods. If I had noticed that I ended up on the trail to Blackwood Mansion, I would have turned around long before I saw the glowing lights. No one ever goes near that place because it's been empty for decades, and we're all sure it's haunted. There are all kinds of stories about it, but the one thing that's true is the owner went missing one day, never to be seen or heard from again. I came to the end of the trail and looked up for the first time. The full moon cast a brilliant light across that dark, prickly landscape, with barren, drooping trees that made me feel like death was all around me. The light coming from the mansion took me by such surprise that I stumbled backwards and ripped off my headphones. They continued blasting music as the whisper of wind blowing through the thorny trees sounded like an ancient specter warning me to leave. At first, I ran away, letting the fear take me, but then I stopped. Maybe it's because I love movies with creepy stuff in them, or maybe it was just pure curiosity, but I had to know what was going on in that house. There was no way I was going near it alone, though. So, I texted Tom. Dude, at the Blackwood Mansion, lights are on. You gotta come check it out. Tom loves this kind of thing even more than I do. His response was immediate. What? OMW. I knew that meant on my way, and that he would be booking it toward the trails on his mountain bike in seconds. Tom is my best friend, but he doesn't exactly think before acting. He's like never afraid of anything. It gets him into trouble sometimes. Unlike me, a fair-haired kid who could eat a few less sleeves of cookies, Tom is wiry, with jet black hair. We're not really into sports, but Tom always beats me when we race to the corner store on our bikes to buy candy. As excited as I was to solve the mystery of the lights in the old mansion, every time I looked at it alone, it made me queasy. So I slipped back into the woods out of sight to wait for Tom. A few minutes later, he slid to a stop and hopped off his bike to get a look. Dude, oh yeah, somebody's home, Tom said. Shut up, man. They're going to hear you. We don't know who's in there. Right. Sorry, man, it's just no one ever goes in there. This is awesome. I'm kind of bummed we're too old, he made quotation marks with his hands, to go trick-or-treating, but this is way better. Yeah, I said. What were you doing here anyway? He asked. He only had to look at my face to know the reason. Oh, all right, well, let's go. Okay, but let's be careful, I said. Tom took the lead, running from the end of the path to the bottom of a long stone staircase that led to the front door of the mansion. I followed, excited, but also fighting off the fear shouting at me to turn around and go back home. The stairs were weathered, a few of them bowed at places, probably from years of standing water and from the rain and harsh winters. Tom was at the top of the stairs in a flash, waiting against the wall next to the door so as not to be seen if someone opened it. I crept up behind him, slowly, ducking down as if that would help me somehow blend into the long stairway. I hate it when fear makes me look less cool. Tom was so excited, he didn't seem scared at all. I made it to the top and slid to the other side. I looked over at Tom to say with my eyes, "What now?" Slowly, he turned toward the house and leaned over to pull the door open. Once it was open a little, he waited for someone inside to notice. Nothing happened. He leaned further over and ducked his head into the open doorway. In an excited whisper, he said, "Dude, this place is amazing. Why haven't we ever gone in here before?" "Because no one comes in here. Because it's the old haunted Blackwood Mansion," I whisper screamed back. "It's all dusty and stuff, but it still looks really nice, man. Like, whoever Mr. Blackwood was, the dude was loaded. That staircase is like something straight out of the movies. So cool." My interest was piqued. "We gotta go in, man," Tom said. "Okay, let's do it, but be careful. These lights didn't turn themselves on." "That's the thing, dude. There aren't any lights on. Just a crazy orange glow coming from somewhere inside," Tom said. "What are you talking about?" I stepped around to the door and pulled it open further to see inside. "Think about it. No one has paid an electricity bill in ages, so how would the lights even work?" Tom said. He was right. Inside was an amazing entrance, with a wicked cool gothic staircase off to the side leading up further into the mansion, and everything was bathed in this bright orange glow. But it wasn't coming from any lights. Tom pushed me aside and walked in. "I don't think anyone is here, man. I think we're dealing with something else," Tom said. I cautiously crept in behind him, shutting the door behind me so whoever might be there wouldn't know they had visitors. "What, like ghosts or something?" I joked, trying to hide the fear in my voice. "Have you ever seen anything like this, bro? The light isn't coming from anywhere in this room, but it's still majorly bright." "No. That's what I mean. This stuff is more like what came out of the Ark when they opened it in Indiana Jones." I didn't know what to say to that, so I just walked up closer to Tom, not wanting whatever was in that house to sneak up on me. "Let's find out where it's coming from," Tom said. All I wanted to do was run back home, no matter how bad my parents might be fighting. Tom went toward the stairs and started walking up them, then turned around. "You coming, bro?" "Yeah." I was terrified to see what was in that house, but I couldn't wimp out and let Tom go up there alone. I willed my legs to move and slowly shuffled over to the stairs. I stopped at the bottom, the ornate wooden rail feeling cold under my hand. "Dude, we gotta see what's going on here. Come on!" Too impatient to see if I was going to follow him or not, Tom started back up the stairway. By the time I was halfway up, he looked around and looked left. I ran to catch up. He was walking down a hallway, but then stopped and looked around again. He put words to what I was thinking. "I mean, it's still super bright up here, but it isn't as bright as it is down there, right?" He looked over at me. Right. Yeah," I said. "Right?" He punched me in the shoulder as he sped past me back toward the stairs. "We can come back and check it out up here later. Let's go find where that light is coming from." As soon as he started back down the stairs, I shuddered, feeling an icy new wave of fear flutter through me as I realized I was alone up there. I jogged back down the stairs. Tom turned left, ducking down a hallway, but by the time I caught up to him, he was turning around to go the other way. No, it's not coming from that direction, he said. I watched him go past me, not daring to poke my head further down the hall toward the unknown beyond. Tom ventured toward the other end of the house, even opening a door and peeking inside one of the rooms. The door made the creepiest of creaks as it swung open slowly. I was sure it would alert whoever was in there to our presence, but no one came to investigate, and Tom seemed to conclude the light wasn't coming from there either. He closed the door and turned back toward me. To the side of the stairs, there was a hall that led to the back of the house. Tom looked at me, standing there, frozen, waiting for the doom I knew was to come. He laughed, walked up to me, and slapped my shoulder a couple of times. Come on, man, snap out of it, we're fine. Look, if someone really is here, do you think they could magically attack us before we could run out? But that was the problem. As much as I didn't want to believe it, I was starting to think Tom was right. There was some kind of magic or something weird going on here. It did not seem like any kind of light I had ever seen. I realized Tom was looking at me, waiting for a response. Dude, they'd never catch us. Let's check out the back of the house. We can always run if things get sketchy. I felt my lungs push out air in a long exhale. Okay, yeah, let's go, I said. His long eyebrows shot up and a huge smile blossomed as he laughed. Yeah, that's right. Let's do this, man. He turned toward the back of the house, setting off with a little giddy jump, and I followed after him. The hallway opened into a huge, musty dining room that took up the left side of the house. So we headed right into a beautiful but run-down kitchen with super cool ancient appliances. Past the kitchen was a little seating area, and to the right, a door which I guessed led downstairs, below the stairs we had ascended earlier. Tom opened the door. The magical glow shone stronger on his face from below. This is it, Tom said in a wonder-filled whisper. He hesitated, looking back at me. I tried to muster an expression that matched his enthusiasm, but I don't think I pulled it off. Come on, man, this is a dream come true. This is crazy, he said. Yep, I replied. Tom started down the steps, each one creaking a little as he made his way down. Once I joined him on the stairway, the two of us made a sort of eerie back-and-forth song of squeaks, like kids bringing a rusty old seesaw back to life on a forgotten playground. At the bottom, it opened up into a huge room full of desks, bookshelves, and tables with huge sheets of paper on them. I stayed at the foot of the stairs while Tom wandered around looking for the source of light. It was clearly brighter down there, but nothing we could see was giving off the crazy glow filling the house.
I don't know, man. I'm pretty sure no one is home, and the light is coming from down here somewhere, but I don't see anything, Tom said.
He threw his hands up in the air. He looked around one more time and then started back toward the stairs. Something had unclenched in my gut when Tom mentioned no one being there. I was still freaked out about the weird light, but I felt the overwhelming fear start to slip away.
Don't give up, man, I heard myself saying. We have to figure this out. Something is going on. Yes, that's right. Welcome back, Cody. I thought I'd lost you, man.
I looked around, trying to find some clues as to where else we could go. I don't know, maybe there's another space down here to get to. Maybe somehow we can go further, I said. That's when I walked deeper in and ventured over to the table piled with huge pieces of paper. What are these? I said. Looks like floor plans, maybe to this house. Hey, these might show us, Tom said.
Sure enough, we flipped through a few pages until we could see there was one more level further down. It was much smaller than the full basement we were standing in, and it was hard to tell how to get to it. The only sheet showing the space was a side elevation view. We split up, combing the room for some kind of door or hatch. At first, we couldn't find anything. Then, I realized one of the huge desks was on top of a gigantic area rug.
Dude, help me pull this over, I said. We each grabbed a corner and tried to pull the rug aside, but it wouldn't budge.
We're gonna have to move everything on it, Tom said.
Yeah.
We started by moving everything off the desk onto the floor next to the rug. Then we tried lifting the desk, but it was super heavy. I opened one of the deep drawers to find a ton of books, papers, and bottles of ink inside. Tom came up next to me and started pulling it all out. We emptied the desk and were just barely able to lift it enough to move it off the rug. I reached down and grabbed one corner, peeling it away from the ground to reveal an old wood trap door on hinges. The eerie orange light blasted out through the edges and a few of the boards making up the door that weren't airtight. We looked at each other and then back at the door. As I stood there trying to muster up the courage to reach down and open the trap door, Tom walked up and bent down to grab a black metal ring on one side of it. He tried pulling it up and got it to move ever so slightly. When he let go of the ring and the door slammed back down into place, dust flew up into the room. Tom looked over at me with that determined smile afresh on his face.
I think we can lift it together. Come on, man. We have to see what's down there.
I crouched over the door with him and grabbed the other side of the ring.
Ready?
Pull, Tom said. We pulled and felt it start to lift. It weighed a lot, but we kept going and soon it was vertical. The light shone brighter than ever before from the opening. We both tried to let the door fall gently to the floor, but it slipped out of our hands and crashed down with a huge thud. I jumped at the sound, but Tom was unfazed, already peering down inside the brilliant room beneath us. Without turning to me to signal our next move, he walked right up to the hole and jumped down onto a ladder that led down. Once there was room for me, I followed. The small room was pretty bare, other than one huge, glowing, flat oval shape that appeared to be floating above the ground. Tom and I walked up to it. As our eyes adjusted to the strange, intense glow, which had become even more orange than the pale yellow we saw upstairs, the object emitting the light came into view.
I think it's a big mirror, Tom said.
And with that, a voice came booming from what I assumed was a person standing behind the mirror.
What the?
I screamed and bolted back up the ladder. For all his courage, Tom was right behind me. But once at the top, he stopped and yelled down to the voice. I was on my way to the stairs and back home until I heard him. Then I stopped.
Who's down there? Tom called.
Please, you have to help me. I've been stuck in here for ages. I don't even know how long it's been.
Who are you?
Those next two words sent streaks of ice through my bones.
Jonathan Blackwood.
Yeah, sure, buddy. You're the owner of the mansion who disappeared like 50 years ago?
So it has been that long. Please, I beg of you. You must let me out.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. We opened the trap door. Just climb up the ladder.
You don't understand. I have been trapped in this magical mirror for some 50 years, as you say. It is madness. I see nothing but the blinding orange light. This is no life.
Please, get me out.
Tom didn't reply right away. He looked over at me in disbelief, like, do you believe this guy? It's one thing to see the glowing light, but it's another to hear someone's voice like they're right there, but claiming to be magically trapped inside a mirror. Okay, buddy, listen. My friend and I are going to come down there, but I'm bringing something big and heavy that I can swing at you if you try anything. You got me?
Yes, of course. Bring any means of defense you deem necessary. Whatever it takes to make you feel comfortable. But please, you must let me out. Do not leave me here to be blinded in this marmalade hellscape for a moment longer.
Okay, we're coming down, just as soon as I find something to defend myself with, Tom said. He ran around the room until he found a huge metal T-shaped ruler.
A whack from this wouldn't feel good,
he yelled as he hustled back to the trapdoor.
Come on, man. The two of us can take him if he tries anything, Tom said.
I was having trouble forming words, so I nodded. Tom went back down with the huge ruler in one hand. I followed, and soon we were down in the small, glowing orange room again. Tom started slamming the ruler against the wall to intimidate the guy.
All right, man, where are you?
Tom said.
I am in the mirror. Surely you can see there's some form of magic at work here. From the brilliant glow.
Yeah, sure, buddy. You're in the mirror. Tom was trying to sound tough, but I could hear the unease in his voice. He slowly walked around to the back of the mirror. I watched from the bottom of the ladder. Tom stopped banging the ruler against the wall.
I don't believe it!
He yelled.
What?
I said, backing up against the ladder and putting one hand on a rung for a quick escape.
There's no one down here. As I have been trying to tell you,
the voice said.
Yeah. You're in the mirror. Okay. So what if I believe you? How exactly would we get you out, and why should we even try?
Maybe someone trapped you in there for a reason, and we shouldn't let you out, Tom said.
I was fooling with things I should not have. This mirror was supposed to give me years more to live as I aged. I simply could not let go of my desire to live longer. If only I would have known what my extended existence would be like. I would have gladly accepted my rightful time to pass on to the next life.
Tom had wandered back next to me and stood toward the mirror, listening, with the ruler held up in a defensive position. He glanced my way.
Dude, this is some crazy stuff. What do you think? Should we let him out?
I had so many questions of my own swirling around in my head. I managed to bring one out through my lips.
Why do you want out? What are you going to do?
The voice laughed a bitter, hearty laugh that unnerved me. Then he replied,
Simply die. That is my hope. I have had nothing but my thoughts for ages, and I see now how foolish I was to try to hold on to life so dearly. That I would try to use magic to stay the course of God and nature. Anything but release from this to whatever is next for me is unbearable to imagine for a moment longer. Please help me escape this prison of blinding color.
I looked at Tom. I could see it on his face, too. We both had gone from scared enemies to sympathetic fellow humans. What he was saying seemed unreal, but the vivid glow causing the otherworldly orange radiance all around us was pretty hard to ignore.
Get ready to use that thing, I said.
Tom nodded.
Okay, Mr. Blackwood, how do we get you out? I said.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
The urgency in his voice made me feel even more pity for him, and I believed he was telling the truth.
Yes,
please just find the curtain on the side of this room and pull it back. We looked, and sure enough, there was a thick curtain blocking the view of the night sky. We hadn't noticed it before because of the fright of the voice.
I'm sure the only reason the glow has spilled back into our world is that this night is like the one in which I entered the mirror. The light of a full moon will unbreak the spell which binds me in this pale penitentiary.
We stared at each other. There is a full moon tonight, Tom said.
Yes, please just pull back the curtain and I will be set free. I mean no harm to you and will forever be indebted to you too.
I nodded at Tom. He continued to hold up the ruler while I walked toward the curtain. Okay, I'm going to pull the curtain now.
Thank you.
I grabbed the side of the curtain and looked for one last approving nod from Tom. He gave it to me, ready for trouble. Okay, I said and ripped the curtain aside, quickly turning to see what I had done. All at once the light went out, and we heard a thud as something hit the floor.
What's going on?
Tom screamed.
I don't know. Mr. Blackwood, did it work?
A faint voice replied.
Thank you for my freedom.
I heard Tom walk toward the voice, though I could see nothing.
Hey man, are you okay?
He asked. Tom and I turned on the lights from our phones. Seeing that room with the man on the floor, who hadn't been there moments before, in such thick darkness, was freaky. He looked impossibly old. Tom tapped him.
Dude, he's not responding.
Yeah, I think with his return to the real world, his age caught up with him, and he died.
Let's get out of here and report this to the cops. They can handle it,
Tom said.
Yeah,
I said, turning toward the ladder. I was eager to be the first one out of the tiny, musty room in the basement of an old abandoned mansion with a corpse and a powerfully dangerous magical mirror that can trap you for decades. We ran out of there with our phones guiding us through the now oppressively dark mansion back into the woods. Tom downloaded an app to make it look like he was calling from a different random number and called it in. For a brief moment after he hung up, we stood there in silence, looking at the mansion under the full moon, which appeared much brighter after that enchanted orange glow that seemed to shine into our very souls. Tom turned toward me, raising his open hand. We slapped palms.
I guess that's it then.
Wild, bro,
he said.
Yeah, that was the craziest Halloween ever.
Right? Even better than a bag full of candy.
All right, I'm out of here, Tom said.
Okay, man. Later. He hopped on his bike, took one last look at the mansion, then pedaled off. I watched him until he disappeared behind the trees. I turned and spent one last moment looking at the huge looming house while putting my headphones back on. I turned and started back, feeling better prepared to deal with whatever was waiting for me at home after such an unreal night. The end.
Hey, this is Dan, the author and narrator of that short story, The Night the Lights Came On. If you liked this story, you would really enjoy my novel, Haunted House Flipper, available as a paperback at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, and also as an ebook at those retailers and wherever else quality ebooks are sold. What is Haunted House Flipper about? It's like Supernatural meets HGTV with a Christian mythology. Ray is a friendless realtor who stumbles on some supernatural tools, including a sword that can rid a property of evil spirits. He decides to use them to change his career and finally become a house flipper, but on a grander scale. He plans to flip old haunted mansions that no one else will buy, rid them of their evil spirits, renovate them, and sell them for a hefty profit. Getting them to leave isn't as easy as he'd hoped, and he has some competition from Bill Baldock, who buys up haunted mansions to destroy them and build apartment complexes in their place. Discover a new world within our own with Ray as he tries to learn how to use his new tools against demons, make new friends, and outsmart new enemies. So that's my novel Haunted House Flipper. I would love it if you could read it and leave a review on Amazon. That would really help me out. If you haven't been listening to the podcast, I also recently put out a new book review episode on the other podcast that goes in this feed, Dan the Art Man's Book Reviews, and I'll be putting out a new one of those every week or so. Even though it's been about 5 years since I've done that, things are rolling again now. But it was really exciting to write a brand new short story. I haven't done that since 2016, so that's been like 7 years. But that story, called Slug Teeth, was narrated by someone else for the Melting Podcast. The last time I released a podcast of me narrating one of my short stories was in 2015, 8 years ago. If you want to know why this podcast has been silent for so long, check out the last episode, Dan the Art Man's Book Reviews, episode 73. After the book review, I give you a rundown of what happened and what's to come. I'm excited about it. Well, that's all I've got for you guys this time around. Maybe next I will write a Christmas short story or some other kind of short story. I have been writing a tiny bit off and on. I started and wrote a couple chapters for the new Kindle Vella platform. There's another book I started writing, and there's some projects I still need to finish, but all in due time. That's all I've got for you guys this episode. Thanks for stopping by. I hope you enjoyed the story. Happy Halloween, or if you're listening at a later date, have a great week. Thanks for stopping by, guys. I'll see you in the next one. Music used, Ossuary 6, Air, by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Thanks for listening.